This is America Weekend. I'm Mike Bennett. We'll check in with Kimberly Locke of American Idol fame in just a moment. But first, Lance Bass says Zayn was smart to leave One Direction. Former boy band member Lance Bass was on the Meredith Vieira show and talked about One Direction. The former NSYNC star said Harry Styles has been recording solo for many months and was planning to leave the band, so Zayn beat him to the punch. Lance thinks Zayn was smart to leave because no one knew who he was, and now they do. Lance also thinks Harry is going to leave the band soon anyway, and there won't be any more albums after that. That's the opinion, of course, of Lance Bass. A regular contributor is Kimberly Locke from American Idol Season 2. Kimberly, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I am terrific. And as we watch this season of American Idol, you were on 2. This is 14. So it's been a while, but I'm sure that you can relate to getting down to the final four this week and what that means when the spotlight is really focused on just a few people.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, it's such a process, the whole whittling down, you know, to the final few contestants. And I think it's right at this particular point where it gets realer than it ever has been, because you look around and there's only four people standing, and you're like, wow, I did this. I am doing this. And I actually have a shot at winning this entire competition. But even if you don't win at this point, you've already won. Does that make sense?
Sure.
Yeah. So, you know, it's such a, I don't know, it's one of those experiences where you're like, you know, it's a very proud moment, but then the competition really gets stiff, because now you have, you know, the people who get voted off, the people who voted for those contestants, they have to now vote for someone else. So can you win new votes? You know, because that's only going to help you.
Now, when you got down to your season, to the final four, were there individuals in that foursome that really, really wanted to win at all costs, real cutthroat? Or was everybody kind of, you know, well, just whatever happens, happens?
I'll be honest with you. I think it was very competitive. You know, Reuben Clay and I had a very special bond. You know, we all, because we're all from the South, and, you know, we were all in the same group when they broke us into groups, and Clay came back in the wild card group. So we had a very special bond during that time. So, you know, that fourth person, you know, we wanted to be in the top three. And very early on in the competition, Clay, Reuben, and I had a conversation where we said to one another, we want to be in the top three. And it happened.
Well, of course, if it were that simple, everybody would be in the top three. You guys really, you had the talent to back it up. So you must have been speaking from a point of strength, really.
You know, I think we were, and we all had respect for each other, and we were all very different. You know, all three of us have very different styles, but we gave each other props for the talent we had and the, you know, what we had done prior to being on the show. You know, I can remember Reuben and I having lots of conversations about, you know, just bands that we played in, you know, through college and all the stuff we'd done working up to that point. So we did have a special bond, and, you know, we had respect for each other, and it was just a really sweet thing to get to the end, and it was all three of us in that last round.
We're talking with Kimberly Locke about her experience on American Idol. So now, when your show ended and Reuben won and you came in third, did you go on tour with the other top whatever?
Yeah, so our season, it was top 10, and the top 10 contestants went on the tour. And that was another thing, you know, during the process of the competition, you know, you had these different steps. Like, you wanted to make it into the top 24 or the top 36. Then it was top 24. And, you know, the whole time you're thinking, I want to be in the top 10 because I want to go on the tour. And I just recently heard that this year they're only taking 5 people on the tour.
Oh, my goodness. That's quite a drop.
Yeah. That's quite a drop, and it's very interesting. You know, being on the road is a lot of work anyway, but when you have 10 people on a tour, you know, you can spread it out, and, you know, it seems manageable. But with 5 people on tour, that's a lot of work for those 5 people to do, because they do a lot of cities.
Well, I was going to ask you, what was your tour like? Was there a particular route that you took, and what city did you really like, and what place didn't you not so much?
Oh, my gosh, Mike, it's all such a blur. You know, I was just, where was I? I was somewhere rehearsing for something, and I was thinking about the tour, and I was like, gosh, I remember there were nights being out on stage, and you call out the wrong city name because you've been in so many cities, you forget where you are. You know, for me, I think one of my favorite cities was probably the L.A. tour, and then or the L.A. stop, and then when, of course, we went to Tennessee, we didn't do Nashville, but we did Memphis. So all of my people were in the audience there, and you know, I don't know. It's just you know, being on that stage every night in arenas. You know, performing on an arena stage is very different than, you know, doing something more intimate like a theater. There's so many people, and the energy is just, you know, it's infectious. You know, it's a great feeling.
And I suppose for some of the people in your top 10 when they toured, that was the first and last time they appeared in such a big arena.
Yeah, you know, you're absolutely right. And I think if you look at the scope of a contestant's life, they go from their hometown. Some of these kids are not even out of high school yet. Some of them have not even been on a stage ever in their lives. And then they're thrown into the ultimate situation. That's a lot. It's a lot to take in. It's a lot to process. And I'll be honest with you, there's not a lot of time for processing. You process after everything is done, because they're not going to have very much time between the show and the tour. So, you know, processing what just happened to them on the show, they'll have to process it next year when they come off tour.
Yeah, because you have to go out on tour right away while people still have an abiding interest in what you want to do.
Absolutely.
Now, how controlling was the American Idol tour, the people that are running it? Do they really control every single thing you do, or did you have free time to, you know, go and explore or rest or do whatever?
There's not a lot of free time, you know, on the tour. You know, when I say it was a blur, I mean, that's not really an exaggeration. I remember, you know, life on the road, life on a tour bus is a very, it's a very interesting way to live life. And some people love it and some people don't. But, you know, pulling up into a city and having your tour manager wake you up at 3 o'clock in the morning and say you're at the hotel, and, you know, leaving your door propped open so they don't bother you when they drop off your bags, and then having to get, you know, it's such a whirlwind. You know, you talk about downtime. You have downtime when you're sleeping. Or you have downtime, you know, or you have downtime when, you know, there's a long drive from one city to the next city. And, you know, there's not a lot of downtime, you know. You are on one very long, extended adrenaline rush.
How many cities did you do? Do you remember?
I want to say we did something crazy like 52 cities in 60 days.
That is crazy.
That's crazy.
And you probably
look crazy.
You look back on it now and you say, how did I even do that?
Oh my gosh. I do. It's hilarious because I couldn't imagine doing it now. I mean, I just, you know, being on the road is such a I think you either love it or you hate it. You know, you're eating crap food all the time, you know, you're not getting proper rest. You know, you wake up in the morning, you're exhausted, and then you get on this ultimate high when you're on the stage. Like, it's a crazy lifestyle. But it's a lot of fun. And, you know, I look back on, you know, I think about that time on the road and, you know, trying to remember, you know, some of the things that happened. And I'll be honest with you, the part that I remember the most about being on tour is the fans, because the fans are what make it so amazing. I remember a fan chasing our tour bus one night, and the tour bus actually stopped, and, you know, I was hanging out the door trying to sign an autograph, but somehow I slipped when I got to the bottom step, and I almost fell off the bus in front of a car. It was a Cadillac. I'll never forget that. So, you know, these crazy stories that we all have these stories, and, you know, the one thing I can say, you know, the contestants that are coming off the show and going on this tour, you know, try to take as many pictures while you're awake so you can at least go back and look at it and say, oh my gosh, I remember that.
Well, Kimberly, thank you so much. Your insights are so fascinating because this is what these new contestants are going to go through. To some degree, Absolutely. It won't be exactly the same, but it'll be very similar, yeah. I'm sure.
Yes, it will be very similar, and it'll be exciting, and it'll be fun.
And something they never forget.
Exactly.
All right, Kimberly, we'll talk to you next week. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Mike. Have a great day.
I'd love to get your comments. Send me an email at MikeAW@MikeBennettRadio.com. That's MikeAW@MikeBennettRadio.com. Or follow me on Twitter at MikeBennett11. And with Kimberly Locke, I'm Mike Bennett. You're listening to America Weekend on the Envision Radio Network.
Where are they now with Ahmad Rashad?
This Hall of Famer is a 13-time All-Star, an AL MVP, and a World Series champion. In 1980, he came within 10 points of a .400 batting average for the entire season. And who could forget the umpires taking a home run away from him in 1983 for having too much pine tar on his bat?
Look at this. Randy is out. Damon Mack.
So, where is George Brett now? George still lives in Kansas City, and he still bleeds royal blue as the team's vice president of baseball operations. Brett and his brothers own several minor league baseball teams and a company that sells baseball equipment.
He is out and having to be forcibly restrained.
Still furious after all this time. I'm Ahmad Rashad.
The Movie Man 6-second review starts now.
It's fast, it's furious, it's totally bonkers, so buckle up because Furious 7 is a hell of a ride. I'm in.
6-second reviews are brought to you by Marvel's Avengers, Age of Ultron. See it in theaters May 1st.
Welcome to American Biker Minute. Don't spend time and money for unnecessary doodads, things you really won't want or need after a few months in the saddle. The sort of add-ons the bike and you can really do without. Today on American Biker Minute.
Do you have troubled skin or acne? With Proactive Plus, your acne can heal and you can help prevent new breakouts from happening. Call Proactive Plus now and receive a 60-day risk-free trial along with 2 free extras and free shipping. Call 800-393-6139. That's 1-800-393-6139.
Jeff Ryan for American Biker Minute. A biker's first time out running a 6-speed, your faithful servant lusted after an indicator gauge which would tell me which gear I was running in at the time. I wouldn't shift up into 6th gear until I hit 70. I didn't need it. Years later, no speedometer, no problem passing to a minimum, so fewer of those nasty yellow slips of paper. If you're new and you really want a shifter gauge, wait until you get your legs, then decide what to do with that extra money. American Biker Minute. Your passport to the open road on 2 wheels.